is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Center front is the border security for the state of Panama, the Panama Canal. Center front is a highly professional organization, and they're charged with maintaining something like order at the edge of the Pan-American Highway, where what begins as 60 miles of up and down extremely dangerous triple canopy jungle called the Darien Gap, leading to Colombia. Center Front is reporting that so far in 2023, between January and September of this year, 380,000 people have passed through the Darien Gap, leading from Panama, the edge of the highway, by bus to Costa Rica, on their way to the Mexican border with the United States. I welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at American Greatness, about a catastrophe at the border. Victor, a very good evening to you. There are many pathways to the United States, but certainly the Central American pathway is the one that is now preferred by global migrants, not South America, not Haiti, all of that combined. West Africa, Afghanistan, Kurdistan, China. The newest entry are Chinese, mainland Chinese, with their families and money in their pockets coming through the Darien Gap. The Biden administration is watching this. Why is it happening? Good evening to you, Victor.
Well, that's what no one can understand, John, because we know there's interested parties. The South American or Central American governments get an aggregate over $100 billion in remittances. They get a safety valve of dissident populations that go north rather than march on their capitals. We know we have record high labor non-participation in the United States. A lot of employers want cheap imported labor. But I don't. That's all been true in the past, but we've never seen the complete destruction of the border before. So that raises your question, why? And I think, to be frank, the Biden administration feels that they are going to get a huge new constituency. We may have had 8 million illegal entries. I don't know how that translates into actual people, but we're getting close now to 50 million people, or 15% of the current population of not residents not being born in the United States. So I do think that they feel long-term, they flipped California blue from red to blue or purple to blue. They flipped Nevada, they flipped New Mexico, they flipped Colorado, and they can do that with Texas and Arizona. And it's that simple. And I think that reveals they have no confidence, the hard left does, in either their agenda appealing to 51% of the people, or that individual candidates are going to be successful, as they must in 2024, to carry out their agenda. So they feel that while they're getting a lot of short-term criticism, in the long term, they will be appreciated for changing the, I don't know, the balloting constituencies of key states.
Let's establish a base. At the end of the Trump administration, from 2020 to 2021, you report that the border was not sealed but solved, that the numbers coming across were something that Border Patrol could manage, and that there was no surge coming up Central America. What happened?
Well, all the things that had been stymied in court from 2017 onward, and by the administrative state, such as catch and release, refugee status, you could obtain it while you were in the United States illegally, no rickety fence, all of those had been sort of addressed. That he had repaired over 500 miles of bad fencing, was going to go, I think he was 20 miles on the last 600 miles. He had stopped catch and release. He'd empowered the Border Patrol. You had to declare a refugee status in the country of your origin, et cetera. And that had started to work. And then systematically, almost in the first 90 days, the Biden administration ended all of that. And that gave a signal to people, there is not going to be ever a wall on these vulnerable points of crossing. There is going to be catch and release. You can be a refugee by fiat once you arrive there. There was going to be no enforcement. And Joe Biden is a candidate in 2019 that said, come over. And so that message reverberated throughout Latin America. And the result is, as I said, somewhere around 8 million crossings illegally. And what's I guess exasperating, John, is that no one knows how this can continue when Mr. Mayorkas and Press Secretary Jean-Pierre and Joe Biden himself say the border is secure when their own eyes see that it's not. And yet no one will say we have an insecure border. We let in 8 million people and here's why. And that's what's getting frustrating and explains why, as you look at that recent poll, that 78% of Americans are against what's happening at the border.
I testify to New York City. I'll speak there because I do routine reporting with my colleagues. New York City is overwhelmed to the point of despair and frustration, not only at the city hall level. Yes, Mayor Adams, you mentioned him in your piece, but we're talking about the neighborhoods. The city council members, who are extremely progressive, are overwhelmed. They're competing for demands for something to be done. They're housing people who have arrived within weeks. I'm told 2,500 a week, Victor, 2,500 a week. And they've run out of room in the homeless shelters. They're now estimated to be more than half of the homeless shelters are filled by migrants recently arrived. They're trying to educate their children. They're overwhelmed. A colleague of mine within these last weeks walked up 8th Avenue from 41st to 52nd Street on a warm evening in August. And he reported both sides lined with hundreds of migrants sitting on the pavement watching their children play. That's what New York is like right now. The Biden administration sees that. Albany, in the hands of a Democrat, see that. Eric Adams is a very good Democrat, and he sees it. Now, this is the consequence of what we've been talking about. Are they going to address it? It's their city.
No, they're not, because what you just detailed is Johnny come lately exasperation only because it's now affecting them directly. But for nearly the first 2 years of this open border, Mr. Adams didn't say a word. None of these governors or mayors said a word because they felt that the Texans and the Arizonans and the Floridians and all of those people were red state rednecks. And they thought they were illiberal when they voiced objections because they couldn't handle this huge exodus coming from Mexico. And all of a sudden, like a light bulb going on, these governors and these local jurisdictions said, why not send them up? And we saw it first with Martha's Vineyard. We saw the reaction of outrage, and that caught on. And now all of a sudden, they're subject to the consequences of their own ideology. Let's not forget, John, that Mayor Adams welcomed initially one busload of illegal entrants and said that this was what was made the diversity of New York so impressive. And then they kept coming and coming, and then he flipped completely. It's kind of blatant. It's almost really shocking how these blue state officials empowered an open border on the pretense, or I guess the assurance rather, that somebody else would suffer the consequences and they could be libeled as racist if they objected. And now the chickens came proverbially home to roost and they don't want any part of it. But they have not been able to convince their own party in Washington to stop it.
I contribute what I have from European reporting, Victor. Italy, Rome, Giorgia Meloni, and Berlin, Olaf Scholz, and Suella Braverman, the interior minister for the United Kingdom, speaking for her government, all again and again repeat that the migration story across the Mediterranean, the migration story across the English Channel, is damaging their countries, must be stopped. They're completely confirmed why they say this will stop, we'll blockade, we'll build a wall, we'll turn them back. These three governments, Olaf Scholz, who's seeing visa sold in Poland for people passing through Poland into Germany, they are seeing all of this. These are leaders of the world. In other words, the Biden administration is out of step with their own allies. Do they recognize that, Victor?
No, they don't. And remember, what's happening in Europe is sort of a reflection of what's happening in America, with the Eastern Europeans playing the role of our red states and the Western Europeans exasperated that their own EU hierarchy doesn't listen to them, and who themselves have in the past libel the Eastern Europeans, the Romanians, the Czechs, the Poles, the Hungarians as somehow illiberal because they were not going to accept these mandates from the EU. And then finally, the numbers then became so great in places on the border of the Mediterranean, especially Spain, Portugal, Greece, and as you point out, Italy, but also into Germany and others, that they now said, oh my gosh, these are the concrete consequences of what Brussels' abstract utopian dreams lead to, and we don't want any part of it. And it's part of it, to be frank, it's part of a larger rejection of the whole woke agenda, and you see it paralleled in the failed energy policy, shutting down nuclear plants, shutting down coal plants, shutting down natural gas plants in Germany that's going to result in negative economic growth. Crime is on the rise. It's kind of a Western malaise, both in the United States and in Europe and the former British Commonwealth to a great degree, that all of these ideas coalesce. These governments came into power. They had no popular support in their agenda, yet they enacted it, and now it's blowing up upon them.
You mentioned woke. Let's turn to woke. Liberal utopianism, that's a fancy way of saying it. When we come back, Victor Davis Hanson, a senior fellow of the Hoover Institution, writing in American Greatness, the migration catastrophe is part of a larger story that is now turning back on the people who offered it to us once upon a time as utopia, as the vision of the future. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.